Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me again today. This is your host, Brother T. I'm back with you today, blogtalkradio.com, the best hour radio broadcast. And we are reading the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles. Today is number 43 of this year, 2020. It's February 12th. And so today we're going to be studying lesson 43. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. So let's take a good deep breath, pause for just a moment before we begin. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. Perception is not an attribute of God. His is the realm of knowledge. Yet He has created the Holy Spirit as the mediator between perception and knowledge. Without this link with God, perception would have replaced knowledge forever in your minds. With this link with God, perception will become so changed and purified that it will lead to knowledge. That is the function, as the Holy Spirit sees it. Therefore, that is the function, its function in truth. In God, you cannot see. Perception has no function in God and does not exist. Yet in salvation, which is the undoing of what never was, perception has a mighty purpose. Made by the Son of God for an unholy purpose, it must become the means for the restoration of His holiness to His awareness. Perception has no meaning. Yet does the Holy Spirit give it a meaning, very close to God's. Healed perception becomes the means by which the Son of God forgives His brother and thus forgives Himself. You cannot see apart from God because you cannot be apart from God. Whatever you do in Him, because whatever you think with His mind. If vision is real, and it is real, to the extent to which it shares the Holy Spirit's purpose, then you cannot see apart from God. 3 5-minute practice periods are required today. One as early as possible and another as late as possible. The third may be undertaken at the most convenient and suitable time which circumstances and readiness permit. At the beginning of these practice periods, repeat the idea to yourself with eyes open. Then glance around you for a short time, applying the idea specifically to what you see. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. 4 or 5 subjects for this phase of the exercises are sufficient. And you might say, for example, God is my source. I cannot see this desk apart from Him. God is my source. I cannot see that picture apart from Him. Although this part of the exercise period should be relatively short, be sure that you select the subjects for this phase indiscriminately without self-directed inclusion or exclusion. For the second and longer phase of the exercise period, close your eyes, repeat today's idea again, God is my source, I cannot see apart from Him, and then let whatever relevant thoughts occur to you add to the idea in your own personal way. Thoughts such as, I see through the eyes of forgiveness. I see the world as blessed. The world can show me myself. I see my own thoughts, which are like God's. Or any thought related more or less directly to today's idea is suitable. The thoughts need not bear an obvious relationship to the idea, but they should not be in opposition to it. If you should find your mind wandering, if you begin to be aware of thoughts which are clearly out of accord with today's idea, or if you seem to be unable to think of anything, open your eyes, repeat the first phase, and then try the second phase again. Do not allow any protracted period to occur in which you become preoccupied with irrelevant thoughts. Return to the first phase of the exercises as often as necessary to prevent this. In applying today's idea, in the shorter practice periods, the form may vary according to the circumstances and situations in which you find yourself during the day. When you are with someone else, for example, try to remember to tell him silently, "God is my source. I cannot see you apart from Him." This form is equally applicable to strangers and to those that you know well. Try, in fact, not to make distinctions of this kind at all. The idea should also be applied throughout the day to various situations and events which may occur, particularly to those which distress you in any way. For this kind of application, use this form: "God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him." If no particular subject presents itself to your awareness, merely repeat the idea in its original form. Try today not to allow long periods of time to slip by without remembering today's idea, and thus remembering your function. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. Let's take a good deep breath, and let's be with this lesson for just a moment in silence. In this lesson, I really think Jesus is really helping us here, I think, to begin to really see, if you will, how we cannot awaken ourselves by ourselves. We cannot know the truth by ourselves. Now, the ego mind, the construct of the ego mind, is independence. It is being separate. It is being independently separate from anything and everything, to be self-empowered, to be able to believe, or to at least structure a life around the idealized self that needs nothing and no one. And I think in our heart of hearts, we absolutely know that is not true, and that's not even possible. There's nothing that we can truly do alone. If you look around the room you're in right now, you won't see anything that you have done by yourself. Everything you see has been touched and came into manifestation through the effort and through the contribution, if you will, of countless individuals. Even the simplest things, like books or even a pencil. I recently heard a dissertation that was shared by someone who was teaching some students, and it was a story of how a pencil is made. And the thousands of people, literally, that are involved in the process of even a simple pencil, what looks to us to be very, very simple, a pencil, the thousands of people that are involved to bringing that one thing into manifestation in the form that we use it as, that we, you know, see and hold in our hand and use. It's touched and influenced by literally thousands of people, from the gathering of the raw materials, the curating of the supplies, the engineering, the manufacturing equipment, the places where it's stored, the raw materials are come together and are shipping, and ultimately the distribution through marketing channels and pricing and retail stores, and then our decisions of how it comes into our life. We've been talking lately about how everything in our life is is in alignment with us, in a resonance of our vibration, of our consciousness. Yes, indeed, we are in relationship with everything that we see around us. God created us in relationship. In this particular lesson, I enjoy the clarity that he brings forth as he talks about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the link between us, the mediator, and it's capitalized, that's capital M, mediator, between perception and knowledge. And without this link with God, our source, perception would have replaced knowledge forever in our minds. In other words, we could have been imprisoned, if you will, in hell, literally, with no escape, if not for that link, if you will, that mediator between God and our perception. But that link has never been lost. That link is not possible to lose. And when we think about the sleeping self at night, can we see that there is a link between that sleeping self and the awakened ego human self that we are expressing as today? When we wake up, we realize that we were there all along. The link was never broken. We remember the dreams, even though the dreaming self is not conscious that you're there, if you will, peering in, if so to speak, and participating in the experience of the dream, yet the sleeping self is completely unaware that you are safe at home in bed. But you're there. The link is there. The link in consciousness, the joining of mind, while it seems to be severed, is not severed because you remember the dream. The you that's awake now, that knew when you woke up this morning what your day was going to be and what your life is and who you're spending your time and your life with and where you're living and all those things. And yes, that you had gone to sleep and you were safe at home in bed. That link, that self, is ever present with the sleeping self, even though the sleeping self is oblivious to that knowing of that mind, that part of the mind seems to be separated off, yet the link is there. Imagine that that link is happening right now on another level, that the Holy Spirit, as A Course in Miracles tells us, is nothing more than your right mind. It is you, a part of you, the bigger part of you, the real part of you, the true self. And when that self is realized, self-realization has occurred, then we become the expression of that self in form. We become the elevated self of form. In form and field, we become, as Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. The voice, capital V, voice for God, is the Holy Spirit, the mediator, capital M, mediator, between perception and knowledge. And God has no perception. There is nothing to perceive. God is all in all. His is the realm of knowledge. Yet he created the Holy Spirit as the mediator between perception and knowledge. And without this link with God, perception would have replaced knowledge forever. With this link with God, perception will become so changed and purified that it will lead ultimately to knowledge. And that is the function as the Holy Spirit sees it. Its function is your awakening to the realization of truth, the purification of thought. In God, you cannot see. When he says this sentence, he's really referring to the ego self, the small separated self. Just like the sleeping itself at night cannot see in you as the awakened self today here. In that self, it cannot see the life you're living. It even knows not that you are safe at home in bed. It believes it is you, and it believes and demonstrates and expresses moving from one drama to another drama to another drama in a dreamscape, in a world made out of nothing but imagination, yes? So you could say the sleeping self cannot see in you, the awakened self. It cannot see through your eyes. Does that make sense? So when we read that sentence, in God, you cannot see, that's what he's referring to, that the ego does not know and cannot know, cannot see the voice for God, cannot know God. Perception has no function in God and does not exist. Yet in salvation, we could change the, you know, salvation. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, who would know what it would mean to anyone else. So I can only speak to myself here. But as I was growing up, salvation was me being saved from sin in my early indoctrination in quote-unquote religion. I was being saved from sin because I was, without that, I was, well, this is what the mind of a child construct came up with, because I left that institutional indoctrination by the time I was, you know, hardly a teenager, much more than a teenager, and never returned because I couldn't reconcile the concept that God would be punishing and vengeful and wrathful and unloving. I couldn't reconcile the teachings of that religion in my own mind, and I stepped away from it. But the point I want to make is that I couldn't imagine a God like a human, that a God would have all these human traits. And salvation, the idea that I was being saved from a certainty of eternal suffering, if I didn't behave a certain way or didn't believe a certain way, I couldn't accept that. But salvation was taught to me as this being saved from that potential future of eternal damnation. In other words, I was born destined for eternal damnation, suffering and pain. And so that was the early meaning in my life of what the word salvation meant. But now, for me, with my understanding of and from the teaching of my brother Jesus through A Course in Miracles, I understand salvation, and I see salvation in the same light as enlightenment, realization, self, capital S, self-realization. So the salvation then really is being awakened from self-delusion. Because the ego, as he says, perception would have never been replaced by knowledge, right? And without that, we could have been stuck in our own misperception of reality, a dream, if you will, of illusion, forever and ever. No escape. So salvation, enlightenment, self-realization, if I can use those terms as synonymous now, in my understanding of the word salvation, then I can see that my perception can indeed then be purified, and that that purification leads to knowledge. And so it's the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than my right mind, if you will, that will sort and sift out thoughts and help me to see that this thought, as an example, is true. This is a true thought. that God is my strength, that God is my source, true thoughts, and false thoughts, like I am alone, I am a sinner, I am unworthy of God's love, those thoughts are tossed out because the Holy Spirit, nothing more than my right mind, corrects that perception, that misperception. And a corrected perception then leads to knowledge. Let's take a good deep breath. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. In other words, I'm blind. I'm not really seeing truth. I'm not really seeing reality because I'm seeing, as it's been said, through a glass darkly colored. And our lesson yesterday was God is my strength, vision is His gift. So through the Holy Spirit, we're beginning to see that there is a pathway to realization, to self, capital S, self-realization. So salvation, he says here very clearly, is the undoing of what never was. Not being saved from eternal damnation, but if we think about it, even though it was misrepresented to me as something that would happen after the human experience, after death, and then some judgment, and then I'm going to go to hell. It's really he's pointing to that it is the human experience when seen through this darkly colored glass, if you will, that seen through misperception, that can become hell, and that we can see is very obvious, isn't it? When we get to a certain point here of understanding the truth of who and what we are and where we are in our mind, if you will, having experience in a four-dimensional world, a three-dimensional world, whatever you prefer to call it, that we are limited and we are barely seeing anything at all. Our dreams at night shrink it down even more. To me, the dreams at night are three-dimensional because we're not even conscious of time in a state of dreaming. But when we awaken, to me, that's the main difference, or one of the big differences, is that we add the construct of time and we're marching through our day according to our clock, so to speak. But that we made this perception. So it is the undoing of what never was. Perception has a mighty purpose in salvation. Made by the Son of God for an unholy purpose, it must become the means for the restoration of His holiness to His awareness. Your holiness has never changed. Your holiness was never not available. It was never absent. We've discovered in earlier lessons just in the past week, and holiness, you may recall, was a big part of our topic. We said again and again that we're blessed, and my holiness is my salvation. It's the awakening to the realization of your holiness that is your salvation. Let's take a good deep breath. You are holy indeed. Because God is my source. When I relinquish the idea that I'm seeing clearly, when I relinquish the idea that my perception is true and the only perception available, when I join with the Holy Spirit in union That would be in mind. Yes? Then I can see through new eyes with a new vision. Because the Holy Spirit is the link, the mediator. Nothing more than my right mind that is not deluded by my misperceptions. Conscious, basically, if you will, seeing my misperceptions. So we are not alone. We've never truly been separated. We've never truly been unholy. As we will read further, God guarantees your sinlessness because God never created any of these constructs, any of these ideas. These thoughts are errant thoughts. These are not the thoughts of God. Yesterday we talked about will and God's will being, if you will, the thoughts of God. Thoughts of God are only thoughts of love, thoughts of truth. All that God created is eternal. Love is what God is. Love is eternal. Thoughts of love are eternal. We are experiencing things that are real when we become aware of the experiences we're having of love. And it's happening all the time, but we're unconscious of it. We said earlier, recently, that, and we'll repeat this often, that the purpose of A Course in Miracles, the intention of A Course in Miracles, is to remove the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love. I was talking with a friend recently who said that he had studied A Course in Miracles sometime, and I asked him what was his takeaway, what did A Course in Miracles, what was his takeaway from studying A Course in Miracles? And he said he didn't think that he could express that. He didn't think that anyone could, I'm not sure if he said anyone, but that he could express, I'll put it this way, that you couldn't just distill that down into one sentence or just one, idea. And I shared with him what I'm sharing with you now. This whole curriculum, the entire reason for its being in your life right now is to help you and help me and help the world. It's about salvation, literally, from delusion, self-delusion. It is intent on removing the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of love. We could say, removing the obstacles to the awareness of the presence of God. God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him. And that's our work today. Study well, my brothers and sisters. 3 5-minute practice periods is our goal today. I love you. Thank you for being with me today. Stay the course. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with You, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is Yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when Yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember Your forgiveness and Your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not Your will. And let us receive only what You have given, and accept but this into the minds which You created and which You love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send